ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
A chance to win your way into September in the final round of the home and away season in 2025. It's do or die between the Western Bulldogs and the Fremantle Dockers.
Who needs a wild card round, right? Well, apparently the AFL does. From the 2026 season, the pre-finals bye in the men's competition will be replaced by a wild card finals round for the teams in 7th, 8th, 9th and 10th. This kind of structure isn't uncommon in the US. Think the NBA play-in tournament or the NFL's wildcard weekend. But do we need it here? And do fans really want it? And what does it mean for the AFLW, who enjoyed clear air in the pre-finals bye weekend? I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Luke Ball played 223 games for St Kilda and Collingwood, and since then has played just about every role in footy, including being part of the ABC's call team. Bawley, the AFL have made the decision to include a wildcard round in the 2026 final structure for the men's competition. Can you walk us through how this will actually work?
G'day, Poppy. Well, cue naysay and outrage, of course, when a big change gets announced in our AFL landscape. I'm of the view, let's just give it a chance. Let's just see how it all plays out. I think, you know, listening to Andrew Dillon today, you can see why that the AFL have looked to introduce this.
What we feel is by expanding the final series, we'll have more games of consequence during the home and away, which we know our fans love. We know fans will go to those games. We know they'll watch them in numbers. But what we also know is that, particularly the final series this year, where we had pretty much every game as close enough to a sellout, that our fans love finals games. So we think it provides opportunities and provides hope for our fans.
So I think over the last couple of years, I mean, last year was a bit of an outlier in the sense that we had a pretty clear top nine in the end as it played out from about round 16 or 17 onwards.
Questioned all week about pressure, about history. How's that for an answer? September glory. Of the final siren fade.
Fans of the bottom 10 sides start losing a bit of interest. So from that point of view, it incentivises those teams that, you know, might have struggled for differing reasons, like the Swans last year with injuries and were coming home with a head of steam. It really incentivises them to finish the year off and perhaps, you know, time their run where they can make a late charge for the finals.
Well, I think if you look at the ladder over the last few years and you see the teams that have been finishing in 9th and 10th, and this year's a great example. You had the Bulldogs, won well more than 50% of the games, had a percentage of 100, over 130. You had the Swans, who won over 50% of the game. So I don't think it rewards mediocrity. What it does is provide opportunities and more games of consequence.
So, look, I'm okay with it. I'm all for it. There's a bit of a thread that we're just copycats of, you know, of the American sports. We've seen it work pretty well in the NFL. It gives teams, as I said, and their supporter base that little bit of hope towards the end of potentially a long season that they can still play a role in finals. I mean, in reality, it's always going to be tough to win the grand final, isn't it, from 7th or even 5th onwards, as recent history would say. So whilst it might look like a big change on paper, I think it's worth a shot, and I think everyone just take a bit of a deep breath and let's see how it plays out next year.
So it sees 7 plays 10 and 8 play 9, which essentially means we have a top 10, which is 55% of the teams in the competition qualifying for finals. And as you mentioned, if you look at the sort of 2025 season, that would mean the Swans and the Western Bulldogs both get a crack at making the 8. If either of those teams made the 8, or indeed the teams in 7th and 8th, if they were to make it and then make a run at the grand final, they would be playing 28 games in a season. Is that too many?
Well, I mean, it is, isn't it, really, in a sense. And that's why, clearly, we still want to incentivise, you know, top 2 finishes and top 4 finishes, which I heard, you know, Andrew Dillon talk about today. And that's still very much the case.
What it does do then is actually make that gap between 6th and 7th. That'll be something that the clubs will be striving for. And what we do then is you'll have a big difference between 1st and 2nd because you get the home final. 3rd and 4th, you get the double chance. 5th and 6th, you'll get that week off. And then 7th and 8th, you'll get to host a home wildcard final.
So, goodness, if a team's good enough to finish 9th or 10th and go all the way to win it, well, in a sense, that should be heralded and celebrated as an incredible achievement, because, you know, that's certainly the long way home, and teams should still be very much trying to finish in that top 4 spot, because, as I said, that's where usually the premiers come from. But I think you can always look at a year in isolation. I think, and I understand the commentary around the fact that a final series of 10 in a competition of 18 is potentially rewarding mediocrity. I understand that. My view is that you know, wild card weekend is the last opportunity to qualify for finals. So I think you might have said that Andrew Dillon said that it's the first week of the finals. Maybe the only tweak that I would make is that it's still that last opportunity. And I think those American sports call it that as well. It's not necessarily the first week of the finals. It's the last opportunity to qualify for the finals in over a long, really tough season.
The wildcard finals will be finals, which will be part of the Gary Ayres medal and go on the players' records as playing in finals.
So incentivising the top six, you get the weekend off, you're in, and then those last two spots are up for grabs. And you're right, I think everyone would have tuned in to watch the Bulldogs finishing ninth on 14 wins, playing the eighth place team this year, and the Swans, who were coming home with a head of steam, finishing 10th, they would have tuned in to watch them play seventh.
I do think people, footy fans, regardless of whether they're for or against this, as you say, they will be sitting down to tune in to watch these. But for those teams who do play in the wildcard round, they then miss the pre-finals bye, because that's obviously when these matches are set to be played. Do you actually think a team who misses that pre-finals bye and then has to play the additional game can go on and win the flag?
Oh, it'd be very unlikely, wouldn't it? It'd be a big, big mountain to climb. But it's interesting because you speak every team last year, there were different noises coming out of them in terms of that bye and whether they would have preferred to keep playing or whether a weekend off, you know, like for instance, a Collingwood, who probably had a bit more age in their legs and really benefited from that weekend off. So, you know, different teams, it will suit differently and we'll adapt to the change differently. But yeah, some teams might just like, as I said, for instance, the Swans last year, who were finishing with their head of steam, might like to keep it rolling.
Andrew Dillon was pretty strong this morning that this obviously means more games of consequence for fans to enjoy as the season ploughs on. We know that sometimes sort of during that midpoint of the season, it can feel like a bit of a slog. But fan reaction, at least online and from what I've seen, hasn't been wildly supportive of this sort of wild card move. So if fans aren't loving it, can you see a reason that the AFL have decided to do this? Is it, do you think, some kind of money element?
Oh, I think there's no doubt. I think one of the things that Andrew Dillon led with was that people love watching high consequence, you know, finals, even if it is in inverted commas, like games. So I think there's no doubt that that's played a huge part in it.
What was the feedback from clubs? Were they unanimous in support?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, we've been speaking about this for a couple of years now with our clubs at CEOs conferences. And I've got plenty of good feedback from the clubs overnight.
And as fans, we vote with our feet, don't we, and our eyeballs. So, as you said, you know, regardless of whether people like the idea, the notion or not, and whether the 10 into 18 thing, you know, people think is rewarding mediocrity, regardless of that, I think people will definitely tune in. And again, if you only look back to last year or the year before, those teams finishing 9th and 10th, having one last crack to get in, playing against the 7th and 10th teams, I think, I know I'd certainly be watching, even though at times the season can feel like it is dragging on a little bit. When there are high stakes and a big reward on a game of footy, people tend to turn up and tune in. So that's clearly played a big part in it.
We almost got a taster of it at the end of the 2025 season, given Freo played the Dogs and it was win and you're in anyway. So it's sort of a taste of the wild card around there. The other big question that's been raised is around the AFLW competition. That pre-finals bye was an opportunity for that league to have some clear air from the men's competition. Do you think that there was enough consideration and consultation with the AFLW around this?
Well, again, you can only go by what we heard today from Andrew, and I know he's a massive supporter of AFLW and will continue to be. I mean, ultimately, I think we want a landscape where they coexist, don't we? Where they're running side by side or, you know, playing at the same time. So I don't see this necessarily as a blow to that as a week where we give them free air. I'd be looking at ways where we can leverage it from an AFLW point of view. So why can't we play a few big games as curtain raisers or curtain closers to these wild card games? Let's, you know, when we've got stadiums full, let's see if we can leverage that and you know, celebrate the AFLW game even more. So I understand, again, the commentary around it, but I see it as an opportunity more than a blow to the AFLW competition.
So a lot of this conversation, I think, boils down to what many are saying is an Americanisation of our Australian game. And we see this wildcard or play-in structure, as we've talked about in the NBA and in the NFL over in the US. Do you think we are seeing a creep or almost an over-Americanisation of Australian rules footy?
Well, fresh off celebrating Halloween with my little kids, Poppy, where it does seem like it's not just sport, but anything in popular culture seems to be creeping over here, as you said. Look, I think if it's successful, why wouldn't we look at it? You know, success leaves clues. So whether it's America or Europe, wherever it is, where there's something that's happening that's been successful, particularly in elite sport, then why wouldn't we look at whether we can bring elements of that into our game? So I think clearly there's been some consultation, or there's been some eyes over on what's happening over there. And again, I think it's been pretty successful over there. So from my point of view, again, let's take a breath and see how it plays out next year.
Luke Ball, as you say, I think that regardless of how against this concept you are as a footy fan, we will all be sitting down and watching in the pre-finals bye as there are four teams battling it out for those last two spots. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
No worries, Poppy. Good to chat.
Headlines. Sticking with Aussie rules for a moment, and week one of the AFLW finals has wrapped up with North Melbourne extending their winning streak with a victory over the Hawks, making another preliminary final, along with Brisbane, who will enjoy the week off after beating Melbourne. Week two of the finals will see Carlton take on Hawthorn and the Crows face the D's. In the men's competition, Richmond have announced that they've sold one home game a year for the next 2 years to Tasmania in a multi-million dollar deal with the state. Formula One and Oscar Piastri's quest for his maiden World Drivers' Championship just got a little tougher at the Sao Paulo Grand Prix after he finished fifth thanks to a 10-second time penalty incurred on lap six.
Charles Leclerc's got a run. Oscar Piastri's got a run. Three wide into turn number one. How brave is Piastri feeling? He hits Antonelli, who hits Charles Leclerc. But that's a dramatic moment, and there's no tyre on the Ferrari for Charles Leclerc. Piastri went all in and contact with the top two. Oscar Piastri has been given a 10-second time penalty.
To make matters worse, his teammate and championship leader Lando Norris finished first, meaning the Australian now sits 24 points adrift of the lead. The real story of the race, though, was the incredible drive of Max Verstappen, who started in the pit lane and finished on the podium in third. Incredible stuff. Alex de Minaur has lost his opening match of the ATP Finals, losing in straight sets to world number one Carlos Alcaraz.
Oh, these two treating us now. What have I got to do? Says Demon.
Got all he can do is shrug the shoulders. How on earth has Alcaraz managed to win that point?
De Minaur was competitive in the first set before eventually falling 7-6, 6-2. He's not out of the tournament, though. He could still finish in the top two in the group and make it to the semi-finals if he beats Lorenzo Musetti and Taylor Fritz. And Australia have clean swept the Rugby League Ashes against England at Headingley over the weekend, and Rhys Walsh continued his excellent form, scoring the final two tries to secure the third win.
Walsh steps off the left foot, goes through and scores the try. Walsh with a double for the second time this series. Way too easy.
The Gillaroos beat the Kiwi Ferns 40-8 to win the Women's Pacific Championship, but the Kiwi men completed an excellent comeback against Toa Samoa to take out the men's.
Ball's going to be played, last play of the game. Blaise Talangi at a dummy half. Run to the Charles Nicol Klukstar, and that's it. New Zealand has won the Pacific Championship, defeating Samoa in the final 36-14 in a commanding second half performance.
Oh, and the crowd for that game was amazing. To cricket, and did you know that the Ashes starts next week? The first test is in Perth, and that means that this week is all about watching the Sheffield Shield to see who is or isn't finding form at the right time. The New South Wales bowling attack is stacked with the likes of Josh Hazlewood, Nathan Lyon and Mitch Stark all bowling together. And the good news for Australian fans is that Stark looks menacing, dishing out toe-crushing Yorkers at will. On the batting side of things, opening hope Jake Weatherald was out, bowled for 23 off just 32 balls.
And he's chocked on, bowled him. Well, Weatherald's run comes to an end, back-to-back boundaries, and then he slaps it onto his stumps. Tasmania at 1 for 38.
He was really getting in a mood there, Weatherald. He's chopped on.
A big few days of Shield cricket to come. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Phil Pryor. Thanks to Fox Sports, Tennis TV, Cricket Australia and Formula One for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.